Radio Free Press, a podcast from the Campaign for Press and Broadcasting Freedom, campaigning for free, independent and accountable media.
At the end of 2012, a total of 49 journalists were in prison in Turkey, more than even in Iran or China, two other countries with amongst the worst records for jailing reporters. Only a matter of weeks ago, lawyers failed to persuade a Turkish court to release a 76-year-old journalist from a Turkish internet news station. Activists from Britain have joined the international moves to offer support and encouragement to jailed Turkish journalists. Barry White, organiser for the Campaign for Press and Broadcasting Freedom, was an observer at that failed court hearing in March. Sean Bamford, in his role as the TUC's policy officer for Eastern Europe and North Africa, coordinates the response from British trade unions. Barry White, you were in Turkey very recently observing the latest trial and the attempt to free one journalist who I think had already been in prison for, what, 743 days?
Yes, that's right. He'd been there for 743 days. And the case against him is obviously quite thin because most of the other journalists working for that internet news station, which incidentally is a very critical station of government, have been released. Now, that doesn't mean it's the end of the road for them, because they can still be called back and face a proper trial. And by proper trial, I mean this is just a pre-hearing. But the point is that this journalist had been in prison for 743 days without really a substantial case against him. And of course, this has a chilling effect on other journalists who are very cautious about what they report.
Now, what are the chances of him being released? You were an observer at that hearing.
Well, it's very, very arbitrary. You never know. I mean, we thought the chances of him being released were quite good. There's been a big campaign in Turkey. There's been a big international campaign. I actually go there as the representative from the European Federation of Journalists, who've been campaigning now for two or three years now around these jailings. But decisions are made. There's no logic to it. And he goes back inside. And the tragedy is the next hearing won't be till June. So he's there until June. And then we still don't know what's going to happen in June.
Don't the Turkish authorities realise that this is being picked up internationally, that there is concern, for example, among the European Federation of Journalists, and that this trial is being seen, what, as an attempt to bully and intimidate journalists? That's certainly how it's being reported and interpreted in other European countries.
Yes, that's the effect of it. As to whether they care, I think some sections of the Turkish government care. Some sections of Turkish society care. A lot of people in Turkey care. But the truth is that the government is impervious to this pressure from the outside. It's very useful having the pressure. It does make a difference. I think the journalists are treated better in prison if they know that they're being monitored, if their cases are being monitored, that there's solidarity across Europe in support of them. But nevertheless, the government is an authoritarian government and wants its own way, and that means it wants an uncritical media.
Now, over the years, the Trades Union Congress has regularly stood up for jailed journalists and tried to mobilise support for them. Sean Bamford, as a TUC policy officer, why do you think it is that so many journalists, we've just heard from Barry White, are being jailed in Turkey and aren't getting released?
I think Barry has analysed it very, very well. You have a very authoritarian government. It's supposed to be a democratic government, but there's not much of democracy in the ethos of government, and it doesn't like dissenting voices. And this isn't just expressed by actually putting journalists and other media people into prison. You could also look at how a lot of artists have been faced with oppression, and certainly trade unions who stand up for their rights are regularly locked up in prison, but not in terms of in some way they've broken industrial law. Invariably, these are very serious charges of terrorism, sedition is actually thrown at them.
What can the TUC then do on an international stage to try to highlight the case in Turkey? Because I know you take up the case of other journalists in other countries.
Well, we certainly coordinate our actions with organisations like the International Trade Union Confederation to give a global response from the trade union movement about the unacceptability of this behaviour. I might say that there is the elephant in the room here, and it's very much about Turkey's application for and membership accession to the EU. Unfortunately, some of the very negative attitudes that have come from some EU countries means that Turkey, to a large extent, is starting to turn its back on the very notion of joining the EU, which then, as it were, lessens the pressure that we can put on them, because certainly the TUC and indeed governments of this country of different colours or hues have supported Turkey's accession as long as they will actually ensure that human rights and workers' rights are defended and upheld. And at the moment, unfortunately, because there's declining interest in joining the EU, we have less power, less influence upon the Turkish government, not just us, but Western governments as well within the EU.
I mean, Britain has led the way, hasn't it, in trying to encourage Turkey to prepare for possible European Union membership. But as you say, that's countered, isn't it, by the opposition against Turkey that emerges from countries like Germany or from France. So you're saying it's that sort of mixed position then that is rather making it more difficult to raise the case of these journalists.
Yes, I believe that is the case. We are very clear that we support accession, but only on the basis that workers' rights and human rights more generally are upheld within Turkey. We're perfectly clear about that. And that is a requirement for any government, any country joining the EU. What we do not agree with is this exclusionism from some of the countries you've mentioned, or some of the politicians, to be fair, saying somehow that Turkey doesn't belong in the club because, to quote an ex-president, that the EU is a Christian club. And we totally reject that.
Now, we know that research by the American Committee to Protect Journalists indicates the rising number of journalists who are getting imprisoned. At their latest count, on the 1st of December 2012, it was, as I said, 49 imprisoned in Turkey, 45 in Iran, 32 in China, 15 in Syria, 14 in Vietnam, and so on. Now, Barry White, you have taken up the case of these journalists in Turkey. How does it fit in, then, to a worldwide pattern that we're seeing, that more journalists seem to be imprisoned at the moment than for a long time?
Well, when you actually tell people this, they are quite staggered. A lot of people go to Turkey for their holidays and they never realise or understand what's going on, because not enough of this information gets out. People in Turkey understand what's going on, but people generally outside Turkey don't. And there's a problem here of trying to raise the profile of these cases. And as Sean mentions, it's not just journalists, it's other trade unionists as well, teachers, lawyers, who are also falling foul of the authoritarian state. So the whole place, one could say, is almost like a big prison for people who campaign or who criticise the government. So what our job in the European Federation of Journalists is doing is to actually mobilise our affiliates to raise these issues of the lack of freedom of expression, the lack of the right to report, with their own nation states, and the NUJ did it in Parliament last year over one of the journalists at the ODATB trial. The European Federation of Journalists has raised the matter with the European Parliament, and as Sean's talking about, there's an accession group looking at Turkey, and they published a report last week, I think it was, which highlighted the way the country is falling foul of the European Court of Human Rights pronouncements on basic civil liberties and the right to report and the right to dissent. So there's a massive job being done here, massive solidarity being shown, but there's still a lot more to do. And as you said right at the beginning, where it stands in the league table, the Reporter Without Borders report at the beginning of this year placed Turkey 154th out of 179 countries. So it shows it's got a long way to climb up that ladder.
Mm. I mean, and the American Committee to Protect Journalists, I mean, their figures show that Turkey is now, well, what, head and shoulders above other countries which we more associated with this kind of repression of the media.
Yes, that's right. I mean, as I said just now, people don't associate Turkey with these sorts of problems. And what we've got to do is to try and ensure that people are aware and that the political class in Britain takes up these issues, because they see Turkey as a favoured trading nation. And I think human rights come second. Now, there's a lot of organisations in Britain campaigning for human rights in Turkey. The TUC you've heard about, we've got Amnesty International, we've got PEN England, English PEN rather, we've got the NUJ, and we've got Index on Censorship. So there's a lot of, and they're just some of the organisations here, trying to raise the profile of what's going on, drawing public attention, drawing political attention, and trying to get something done. And of course, through Parliament, it is a useful way of exerting pressure on the politicians.
Now, North Africa, the Middle East, it's been an area of turmoil for some considerable time. And Sean Bamford, as this is an area that where you're trying to coordinate the TUC's response, how does Turkey and what's happening there and the repression there fit into this wider pattern in Europe and North Africa?
Well, Turkey certainly has a very important role in the whole of the region. Despite the fact that in terms of the ethos of certainly the Turkish state is less than democratic, nevertheless there are democratic elections within Turkey, and certainly within recent years, probably the last 20 years from memory, there has been a peaceful change of government, etc. Again, although there are many things wrong with Turkey, or Turkey as a democracy is a work in progress, nevertheless, compared with some of other countries which are predominantly Islamic, it nevertheless is an interesting country for them to look at, and to a degree, partly for historical ties for the old Ottoman Empire, they have some sort of affinity with. And I think, again, this is one of the reasons why Turkey could add so much to the EU, both in terms of demography. Turkey is a young country, a growing country. Economically, it's an emerging country. But also, it is a bridge between we in Europe and those in North Africa and the Middle East. And that is why we need a truly democratic Turkey within the EU.
So from the TUC's point of view, you welcome and would support then this move to use World Press Freedom Day as an opportunity here in Britain to highlight the plight of Turkish journalists in jail?
Absolutely. But I think what we need to do is to use this pressure creatively. Obviously, it's an embarrassment to the Turkish state, and you can't get away from that. On the other hand, we need to build those golden bridges for the Turkish government to actually come back, and hopefully on the other side as well, that there are negotiations in good faith about Turkish accession to the EU.
Now, we heard Barry White, you explain that there are yet more cases lined up regarding these Turkish journalists. What does the immediate future hold then? I mean, how many of these jailed journalists stand a chance, do you think, of getting out?
Well, that's a very good question, and it's a question which I'm sure the jailed journalists would like the answer to as well. And of course, we in the European Federation of Journalists want the answer, and we won't give up until they're all out. Let's make that clear. Today, 44 journalists are on trial in connection with a case that's been running for ages and ages. 24 of those are in prison still. And these pre-trial hearings, you just don't know what's going to happen. There's been a number of reforms initiated. I think the fourth batch of reforms recently were initiated. But although there's improvements around the edges to the criminal code and the law, nevertheless, they don't deal retrospectively with people who are already going through the treadmill, so to speak. So what we hope is that the more pressure, the more people that go out to Turkey, the more overseas observers there are at these trials, the Turkish government will realise they can't carry on like this. And that, coupled with a big campaign in Turkey, because we can't do it from the outside, you have to remember, we work with our colleagues, the Turkish Journalists Union and others in Turkey, and they call the shots, so to speak. We offer them solidarity, and that's what we can do, and that's what we'll continue to do. And I think the more solidarity there is, the better the chance that perhaps in a year's time, Turkey won't have this abysmal record that you've so eloquently pointed out.
So, finally, the message from World Press Freedom Day here in Britain, which we celebrate each year, is a special message to Turkey.
Yes. It's about joining the democratic nations. It's about allowing dissent. It's about giving people the right to know. It's about the freedom of expression being more than just a hollow phrase. And it's about democracy in the end. Without a free press, without the right to report, you can't have a democratic society. And that is the bottom line for all of us, whether we're campaigning for lawyers, trade unionists, doctors, dentists, teachers, or journalists.
Well, Barry White, organiser for the Campaign for Press and Broadcasting Freedom, thank you. And thank you also to Sean Bamford, Policy Officer with the TUC. This podcast was produced by Claire Colley for the Campaign for Press and Broadcasting Freedom.